This morning, our God, our hearts are full of thanks and praise. And some of us, and news from some of us, fills our hearts also with worry and anxiety. Because both is so for us. We are glad that you are our companion. Because both is so for us, we are glad that we can rest in your everlasting arms. Because both is true for us, we are glad that you have already defeated death or anything else that gets between us and you, and you and us, and gets between us and any other. And so there is nothing that separates us from love. There is nothing that separates us from care. There is nothing that separates us. You know our hearts and our concerns. You know our joys and our deep gladness. For the music-making arts, for art like the stained glass windows in this sanctuary space, for art through words and dance and song, through art that comes in small ways and large, we give you thanks and praise, for it raises our spirits and it gladdens our hearts and it joys us beyond words. Thank you. Thank you for the early morning sound of birds these days, for spring which is beginning even if the calendar doesn't yet say so, or if the weather still brings ice and snow. Already nature is awake and growing again, and we are glad that we are surrounded by such signs in song. For that which bows us down, which worries us, which brings anxiety up inside of us, for the things that we cannot control, like coronavirus or cancer or other disease, for that which can grab hold of us and has grabbed hold of loved ones as if without notice or word, we pray, O God, for your presence with those who are in need. And for us, we pray your presence to soothe our worry, to settle our anxiety, to keep in check the worst thoughts that come to mind, to help us to weigh and to balance, to remain in a settled and peaceful place, knowing that you care, knowing that you are with, knowing that there are many who know better than we do, that are experts with medical and with science. And so, our God, we place in others' hands and trust in others their good and robust expertise. And we place in others' hands the weight and the carry that we cannot bear. For we place all of this in your hands, and you are wise and provide for us in so many and various ways. And we place in our own hands that which we can carry and that which we can bear and all that we can do, and every grace and every strength and every bit of wisdom. We place all of that in our own hands to the measure that it's ours, that we might pour it back out into life, into others in their point of need. We thank you for this day and all that it's already brought. We thank you for leaders who are part of this community of faith, who are in this community of faith, and who lead in this town, in this city, in the cities in which we move and live and have our being, in the state of Ohio and the United States of America. We pray for every leader everywhere throughout this globe, in every clime and nation and land. We pray always for peace that passes our understanding, but that we seek so fervently and always, and practice with your help. We pray for all of this and more in Jesus' name. And also in Jesus' words we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into a time of trial, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 3, and you can find it in your Pew Bible, pages 863 to 864, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these things that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows from where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
Pause with me, would you? And now, O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of each heart find acceptance in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our stay. I have to my left and to my right this morning colorful beach balls. Do you see them? There are several of them. And so I'm picking one up and I'm tossing it back to the far corner of the sanctuary, and I just picked another one up, and I'm tossing it back to this far corner on this side, and then another to the front over here, and now one more over here. I'd like you to bat them around. Go on now. There you go. Do you see them? Are they? They're all over the place, aren't they? Yeah. Yes. Indeed. Indeed. Holy imagination. Without it, without holy imagination, we are lost, because our Christian faith is absolutely nurtured and stands upon that which we cannot see. It is, on the one hand, a mystery to us, and on the other hand, it is something that is within us. So it is within us, and it is beyond us. And Nicodemus's great sin, his lack, was that he had no spiritual imagination. It's a danger. It's a danger to lose our spiritual imagination. As it is a danger to begin to receive things of the faith, or for that matter, things that are often not specifically of the Christian faith, but many other things, the knowledge that we have from studies and from school and from reading books, good literature, or watching film, or engaging in the news of the day. And when we find ourselves narrowly interpreting, when we find ourselves literally engaging with material and only literally doing so, when we don't see the colorful beach balls that are now lying on the floor and in the pew next to you, when we have no spiritual imagination, we are bereft. Spiritual imagination is necessary to understand Scripture, because Scripture is full of story and parable. Without it, we miss so much of what Jesus has to offer and what he has to say. A minister named Eugene Peterson, who also wrote from the Hebrew and from the Greek a translation of the Bible, his own translation of the Bible called The Message, writes a book about conversations on the language of Jesus and his stories. And he titles it after the words of an Emily Dickinson poem. Emily Dickinson, out of the collection The Complete Poems, writes, "Tell all the truth, but tell it slant. Success in circuit lies too bright for our infirm delight. The truth's superb surprise. As lightning to the children, eased with explanation kind, the truth must dazzle gradually, or everyone be blind." You need to be born again, Jesus says to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, without any imagination at all, gets all in a twist, because he only knows about the first birth, the birth that we all know about. I don't remember my birth. Do you remember your birth? But Some of you have given birth, and I have not. But all of us know something about it. And Nicodemus knew something about it too. You need to be born again. And he's stuck in that literal space. He has no imagination. And Jesus then moves through this conversation and he offers him an opportunity to use his imagination, to use that spiritual imagination to understand that although there is the first birth, if we are with God, and he's saying to Nicodemus, of course you should know about what it means to be with God because you have all of the scripture that describes what it means to be with God. You have all of the stories, all of this spiritual imagination is already in your toolbox. You need imagination to picture Moses going up onto the mountain and seeing a burning bush. Have you ever seen a burning bush that did not get lit by lightning or by fire in some way? Well, you need imagination to know that. Have you ever seen someone walk down a mountain and have their face glowing as bright as the sun? You need moral and spiritual imagination to see this. Have you ever seen tablets written out with commandments? Tablets that were written not by Moses' hand, but by some celestial artisan. You need spiritual imagination to know this. Have you ever seen three persons in a lion's den and not eaten? Have you ever? And over again, Nicodemus, Jesus says, you know the stories of the faith. You know how God enters our life. Not just your life and my life, but our life over and over and over again. And you need imagination to understand, to receive, to feel nourished, and to grow. How is it that you don't know that you are also born from above? And Nicodemus couldn't figure it out, dear ones. But thank God we can. You know that you are born from above, of course. Some of you might think, oh, I've never had that experience, being born from above. I've never been born of water and spirit. That sounds Baptist to me. Or that sounds Pentecostal to me. That's not very United Church of Christ. It's not very intellectual. I don't know how to logically make sense of that or how this works. Oh, then use your spiritual imagination again. Because there is something about the faith that we live and the faith that we know and the God that we say is our companion that does come to us through a birthing process. And we experience this God because we've been birthed into something that is more than just the biological family in which we were raised and that we know. But birthed instead into a faith community family that is not bound by genes and molecules and bloodlines, the complexion or the color of one's skin, or the abilities of one's body. None of the things that we can genetically map if we are part of a certain biological family. Instead, this family that we are born into in this wonderful, imaginative way is bound by one thing and one thing alone. It is bound by God's love, who descends to us. John 3:16. God so loved the world that God descended to us. And in descending to us, joins with us in all of life. And in the fullness of time, this same Jesus, having lived, died, crucified, resurrected by that same power of love, ascends back to the heart of God. And that is our faith story, but that is also the spiritual imagination that enlivens our own lives. God is our companion now and forever, and we know it because we are birthed into this love. In the winter of 2025, Francis of Assisi's friends wrote about him in this way. He stayed inside in that dark little room. He was unable to bear the light of the sun during the day or the light of the fire at night. He had constant and severe pains in his eyes, and at night he could barely sleep. In the winter of 2025, Francis of Assisi was blind, and his body was so racked with disease that he could barely eat and he could hardly drink. And in that little room, in that dark place, his own quarantine, where he ate a few crumbs of bread every day, drank a little bit of water, and could not bear any light at all, in that space, he called a brother friar to him and he said, "I want you to write down what I'm going to tell you. It is a new praise of the Lord for his creatures, which we're to use every day and without which we cannot live." And so in this state of dying, for he was dying, he writes, "Praise be to you, my Lord, with all your creatures, especially Sir Brother Sun, who is the day and through whom you give us light. And he is beautiful and radiant with great splendor and bears a likeness of you, O Most High. And praise be to you, my Lord, Sister Moon and the stars. In heaven you form them, clear, precious, and beautiful. And praise be to you, my Lord, through Brother Wind, and through the air cloudy and serene. In every kind of weather, through whom you give sustenance to your creatures. And praise be to you, my Lord, through Sister Water, who is very useful and humble and precious and pure. And praise be to you, my Lord, through Brother Fire, through whom you light the night. And he is beautiful and playful, robust and strong. And praised be to you, my Lord, through our sister, Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us, and who produces various fruits with colored flowers and herbs." Spiritual imagination. Without it, we cannot praise and worship God. Without it, we cannot really deeply and always experience God's love and companionship. And without it, we cannot offer that love and nourishment to others. But with it, no matter our situation or distress, we can remember and give voice to God who is love in all of its beauty, in all of majesty, in all of its variety. If we don't have words like St. Francis had, we have our own. We have spiritual imagination which keeps God within us and beyond us and all around us. Amen.